May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My brother is a big fan of Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts. And so I've read a lot of comic strips about Charlie Brown in my life. One I read recently depicted a familiar scene. You probably can imagine this. Lucy holding the football and Charlie Brown getting ready to kick it. But this time, Charlie Brown is not going to have any of Lucy's tricks. And he says, "Every time I try to kick that ball, Lucy, you remove it and I fall flat on my back." They go back and forth arguing until finally Lucy breaks down in tears and admits, "Charlie Brown, I have been so terrible to you over the years, picking up the football like I have. I have played so many cruel tricks on you, but I've seen the error of my ways. I've seen the hurt look in your eyes. I've been wrong, so wrong. Won't you give a poor, penitent girl another chance?" Charlie Brown, as you would expect, is moved by Lucy's confession, and so he says, "Of course, I'll give you another chance." He steps back, runs to kick the football, and of course, at the last minute, Lucy removes it, and again, he falls flat on his back. Lucy's last words are, "Recognizing your faults and actually changing your ways are two different things, Charlie Brown." Poor, poor Charlie Brown. It never ceases to amaze me how often Peanuts comics turn a complicated, even biblical theme into a simple truth. We might see a glimpse of Lucy in our gospel reading today and our theological theme for the day. It is our third week, our third Sunday of our special Reformation series, commemorating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And each week we're focusing on a different theme or topic that emerges from Reformation teachings. Today's theological theme is law and gospel. Law and gospel. It might sound a little churchy or intimidating to us, but in developing this idea, Martin Luther really just put words to something that all of us already pretty much know. Not so different from Charles Schulz and good old Charlie Brown. Well, let's start with the law. The classic definition of law is what God asks of us. Law is what God asks us, as the people of God, to do. For instance, the Ten Commandments, or Jesus' commands to love one another as he loves us, or his command to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Now, some of those things sound rather reasonable, right? Like not to murder someone, not to steal. Pretty reasonable laws to expect. But when we look at Jesus' interpretation of those laws, we start to see that it's not so simple as it first appears. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "You have heard it was said, you shall not murder. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to counsel." It's not so easy as just not killing someone. Martin Luther puts it like this for us in the Small Catechism: "We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor, but help and support them in every need." Not only are we not to kill, we're not to have anger, we're not to insult, and we are to actively help our neighbors in every one of their needs. The law is often not quite as simple as it sounds. In addition to law being the things that God asks of us, I like to think of law as all the hard realities that are just part of being a human being in this world. It is a law of living as a human being on this earth that you will know loss in your life, that you will have broken relationships, that at least some of your dreams may not come true and life might not turn out as you had always expected. That's the law. Natural disasters that take innocent people's lives, that's the law. Dealing with chronic illness or anxiety or abuse, that's the law. Death itself is the law. All the tough and terrible and difficult stuff about being a human being in the world, that's the law. We have in our gospel reading today a story about the law. A king wants to settle accounts with his slaves. And in the ancient economy, a king would have had many slaves and servants that all worked for his household, meant to pass profit and honor and benefits on up the ladder to their ruler. Well, the king calls in a particular slave who owes him a debt. It is a large debt. It's taken some time to accumulate this debt, but we don't know exactly how the slave got himself into this mess. Whatever it was, the debt has been incurred, and the king is finally calling it in. He tells the man that he will even sell him, his entire family, and all of his possessions just to pay for this debt. That is the law. You owe a debt, it must be paid. You owe a debt, it doesn't matter why you owe it. You owe a debt, it will be paid. It does not matter how. Luther summed up the law like this for us in our brief second reading today. Do this, and it is never done. Law is a command that we can never totally fulfill. Law is a command that reminds us when we mess up. Law is a command that reminds us of all our human shortcomings, all those things that we can't do in life or can't do perfectly. Law reminds me that I am not a perfect person, and most days I'm not even a very good person. Law shows me how others and the world and sometimes even God leaves me disappointed. That's the law. Let's move on to something more cheerful. How about that? The gospel. Let's move on to the gospel. Well, gospel literally means good news. That's what the word means, the good news. And the gospel, if the law is what God asks us to do, the gospel is what God does for us. The central idea of this is God's loving work in Jesus, coming to earth in human form, dying as we die, living so that we might live. That's the gospel. And it's God's good work throughout all of the cosmos and all of human history, from that moment of creation until this moment. How the good news of God's love in Christ Jesus addresses each and every experience of law we might know, from a broken commitment to a natural disaster to death itself, that's the gospel. The story in our gospel reading today is also a story about gospel. The debt is incurred, it must be paid, that's the law. But the slave pleads to the king for patience. Just give me some time to pay, he says. And the king, having compassion, is so moved by the slave's plea that he doesn't just give him more time to pay, he forgives the debt entirely. The slave needs only to trust the king's word, and he will be set free. It's like Martin Luther said in the second reading, believe this, and it is done already. All the forgiven slave has to do is trust in the king's forgiveness, and it's done. The twist in this story, of course, is that the slave is not going to believe or trust for very long. He's not going to let things go so easily. So though his debt's been forgiven and he's now free, he goes out and encounters an even lesser slave who owes him a debt. It's as if this man has, like, no memory of what just happened, right? I mean, it seems sort of crazy. He has no trust in the king's compassion because the slave begs from him in nearly the exact same words that he just begged for mercy. But he grabs the man violently by the throat and demands payment, and throws him into prison until the debt will be paid. There are two different economies at work in this story. There are two different systems of living at work. The first is the old one, the old economy, the old system, the economy of the world, the economy that said whatever you owe must be paid, whatever trouble you got yourself into, you better get yourself out of it. Whatever trials you face them alone. That's the law. And the second economy in the story, the new economy, is the economy of mercy and forgiveness, the economy that lets a debt go for the good of the neighbor and has compassion for whatever trials you face or whatever mess you got yourself into. That's the economy that the king enacts when he erases the slave's debt. That is the gospel. Even though the slave has benefited from this king's new economy, he doesn't pay it forward. He wants to play by the old rules. He wants to go back to the law. That's the game he's familiar with. That's the economy he knows. What is owed must be paid. When you get in trouble, you get punished. When the king forgave this man's debt, it should have started a cascade of forgiveness, a ripple like in a pool or a pond that spread out to touch each and every person that the forgiven slave encountered. But with the violent demand that the debt owed to him must be paid, the slave has disrupted the ripple and insisted that the law, not the gospel, is rule. The slave has insisted on binding himself not to the king's economy of mercy and forgiveness, but to the old economy of wealth, extraction, and violence. And the ending, how this story ends, bothers us, right? It bugs us. Didn't it bug you to hear the end of that passage? It should. It should bother you. Jesus tells parables to grab people's attention. Jesus tells parables to turn around expectations, to make people wonder why and ask questions and hope for more. And at the end of this passage, the once forgiving king has the slave tortured for his wrongdoing. And Jesus compares the king to God. That bugs me. Why the punishment after such mercy? Why the pain after the promise? Why go back to the law after the gospel? In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus seems to tell us that the good news, that God's forgiveness has limits. But, those limits are not limits that God sets. Those are limits that we set. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, seems to say that God's forgiveness has limits, but those are not limits that God sets. Those are limits that we ourselves impose. The unforgiving slave brings the judgment on himself by treating his own forgiveness as a license to go out and judge others. He transforms a merciful king into a vengeful judge. The problem is not with the king, or even analogy by God, but with the world that the slave insists on living in. A world under whose terms his own fate is now set. A world that is still tied to, you owe this, you're on your own. Instead of the world of mercy and love and forgiveness that the king has tried to begin. In our hymn of the day, in just a moment, we will say it like this. There is a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. For the love of God is broader than the measures of our mind. The love of God is broader than the measures of our mind. That is what the gospel promises, that there is no law, there is no restriction, there is no sin or requirement that you can set up that God's love is not bigger than. There is no thing that a person in this world can do or not do or neglect that is not smaller than the love of God that covers all. As the people of God, knowing that forgiveness, knowing that mercy, knowing that reassurance that comes from God, we are then sent out to start another ripple in the pond. A ripple that will move out further and wider and touch everyone we know, so that they might know the love and forgiveness and the mercy that our merciful God shares with us. And let's remember where this passage begins. It begins with Peter. Peter asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? He thinks he's pretty clever. He thinks that's like a lot, like a really good answer. It's not, is what Jesus is telling him. Okay, Peter, 7. How about 77, Peter? Jesus is giving Peter what seems to him like a ridiculously huge number to make the point. The point is, don't keep records. Don't keep count. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgiveness is how we bring the gospel good news to each other. Forgiving is how we remind each other of God's loving kindness, God's mercy, God's hope, God's presence with us. By faith, God inspires us to share the forgiveness we have known with all those we meet. We're like Charlie Brown. We don't want to be fooled again. We don't want to have that football pulled out from in front of us. But by the grace of God, we're able to do it again. We're able to forgive again. we're able to share a word of mercy and grace with those we know again. Thanks be to God for this forgiveness for us and for all. Amen.